In the week since the death of Pope John Paul II, religion and faith have commanded even more attention than usual. For Yale historian Yaroslav Pelikan, such matters have been his life's work. Over nearly 60 years, Pelikan has written more than 30 books, including his five-volume opus, The Christian Tradition, A History of the Development of Doctrine. Professor Pelikan's latest book is Whose Bible Is It? In its preface, he writes that he was motivated partly by a question his Russian-born Aunt Vanda asked him decades ago. Tell me, what do you think of Bible? I spoke with Yaroslav Pelikan a few days before John Paul died. At the start of our conversation, I asked the question he poses. Whose Bible is it?
Without giving away the plot of the whole book, I end up saying that's not an appropriate question. It's at best presumptuous and at worst blasphemous, because the Bible doesn't belong to any human being. The Bible belongs to God. But the question of who has the right way of looking at it, my final answer is that Christians and Jews need each other in effort to understand the sacred text they share.
If you've concluded that it's actually a blasphemous question, or at least inappropriate, why did you feel compelled to ask the question?
It has been asked thousands of times for 2,000 years, and it is asked constantly. Therefore, it must be addressed.
Who decided and when and how what would be considered scripture?
For Judaism, the usual explanation is that there was a council at the end of the first century of the Common Era which legislated the list of books as they now stand in the Hebrew Bible. The problem is that a couple centuries before that, the Hebrew Bible was translated into Greek, and the Greek translation included a number of other books beyond the list that was eventually codified. On the Christian side, the Christians who spoke Greek but not Hebrew took over the wider, more inclusive list that was reflected in the Greek translation. And through most of Christian history, that larger canon has been what Christians call the Old Testament. And that was finally legislated in response to the attacks of the Reformation. It was finally legislated in the middle of the 16th century at the Council of Trent. So there are, therefore, three Bibles at stake here. The Hebrew Bible, if you count the way Christians count them, that would be 39 books. The Protestant Bible, which is those 39 books plus the 27 books of the New Testament, and the Eastern Orthodox and Roman Catholic Bible, which is not only 39 books, but in addition the books of the Maccabees, the Wisdom of Solomon, Ben Sirach, and so on.
You write about the significance of different languages used to capture Scripture, Hebrew, Aramaic, Greek, Latin, and you write about the vastly different thought worlds of these languages. Give us an example of how that affects Scripture.
You have the very simple fact, for instance, that the absence in Hebrew of most of the abstract words that by way of Greek have found their way into our language means that you have to try on the basis of the Hebrew text to figure out what an appropriate abstraction might be. That is a source of controversy.
And essentially the Christian tradition for the most part has proceeded in doing that, not in consultation with the Jewish tradition.
That's correct. Just take the shocking statistic. Every writer of the New Testament, not Old Testament, New Testament, except Luke, was Jewish. And so the number of Christian scholars who could read Hebrew was very limited in the early centuries, virtually non-existent for 1,000 years, with a couple of eruptions of the study of Hebrew, and then not really a major force until the 15th and 16th century Renaissance and Reformation. So for two-thirds of its history, Christianity has had to read Jewish scripture in translation. And so whatever is lost by translation was filtered out through most of Christian history. So the Jewishness of this text was all too easily ignored.
And then on top of that, you write that Christians baptized the scriptures that they consider Old Testament.
That's right. The events and the sayings of Jewish scripture were taken over as predictions of specifically Christian truths. Wherever the word tree appeared in Jewish scripture, that could be read as a prediction of the cross. Where there is a saying, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, one of the most familiar choruses in Messiah, is not quoted in the New Testament at all. But very soon, Christians begin to quote it as pertaining directly and exclusively to the birth of Jesus.
And what was the effect of that on this cooperation that you say is needed between Christians and Jews in understanding Scripture?
Well, both communities read the text in their own perspective without giving attention to the presence of an alternate understanding.
Does the same lack of cooperation still exist? Do you see any turn, any change in the way these two faith communities look at the Bible?
I think there's some very hopeful signs. On a scholarly level, modern translations of the Bible are almost all the result of scholarly cooperation between Jews and Christians. At the popular level, Jews and Christians meet to study the Bible together. And I think there's a lot going on that is of a constructive sort, but there's also a lot of catching up to do.
What would Aunt Vonda take from this book, from your book?
I suppose she would say at the end, you talk about everybody else, but you don't tell me what you think of Bible, which is, of course, what I've done all my life. I duck by retreating to 20 centuries, and by the time I'm done reciting the 20 centuries, people are pretty nearly exhausted and then can't subject me to cross-examination.
Yaroslav Pelikan's latest book is Whose Bible Is It?, published by Viking. He joined us from his home in Connecticut. Thanks very much.
Thank you.